The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, Miles Jupp is a man you will know well from the Full Monty, Rev, Ridley Scott's Napoleon, even, and of course, Ballymore, to name but a few. Back with his first stand-up tour since 2017 on iBang, and I'm delighted to say he joins me now. Miles, thank you very, very much for being with us. I mentioned the show, so it's on at the Sugar Club in Dublin the 25th of June. Tickets are on sale now, and this show, it started off in a very dark place, is that right?
Well, yeah, it started out in a kind of terrifying place. It's a show that is, it's about, I had a brain seizure, this is back in August 21, and then I discovered I had a benign brain tumor, and then but I had to go undergo brain surgery to have it removed and to try and nudge me back on the path towards normality again. So, yeah, it's the show is a sort of response to question, what was that like? Because, yeah, I mean, it is intense and terrifying, but also, you go on a bit of a journey, and it makes you, gosh, if something like that doesn't make you stop and think, I really don't know what would.
What is it like when you hear the words brain tumor?
That is, I mean, there's a kind of other, sort of slightly otherworldliness thing to it. It's, you know, when you're, you know, eyeball to eyeball with somebody and they say that's what it is, it is, you know, everything, there's a kind of slow motion aspect to it, and you're kind of you're not in free fall, but you're just kind of hanging in the middle of the air, because you think, well, where's this going to go? What are the questions that I can ask that they will know the answers to, and what, you know, am I going to get good news or am I going to get bad news? And there's an element where you get, you know, they'd say it's great at the moment, it's benign, but and you think, oh, thank goodness, and then they say, well, we need to check the rest of you, of course. It might just be, you know, this might be part of something else or whatever. So it's all framed pretty carefully, but you're getting a lot of news at once. And of course you're getting it at a time when, so in my case, I had this seizure, and then, you know, you drift in and out of consciousness a bit. So each time you're awake, you're meeting somebody else and being told different sort of news. So it is a lot to take in. And I guess that, you know, you're still taking it in months, years after the event. There's a lot to process.
I mean, so 2021, we're only 3 years, not even a full 3 years after the fact. Are you still processing it?
I think so. I mean, partly it's through, you know, not so much in the moment of doing the show, because then you're in sort of show mode. You're thinking, oh, I need to say that word there, because then that otherwise that joke in half an hour won't work or what have you. But then after the show, you know, I quite often meet people who have been through similar experiences, or whose relatives or friends have been through similar experiences, and people who have been considerably less fortunate than I have as well. You know, talking with people about it is really, it's kind of glorious. But also it's I do in a way think about life before that and after it. You know, I might see a photograph of myself, for instance, in, you know, 2020 or whatever, and think, oh, I probably had it then, but I didn't know, or whatever it might have been. My children wanted me to go on the waltzers the other day, and I was going, the last time I went on the waltzers, I really felt sick. But then I thought, well, of course I did. But I still didn't have the nerve to get back on the waltzers. Maybe that's when I'll know I'm fully recovered. I have looped the loop. I did loop the loop. Quite a small roller coaster, but the waltzers is a long way off.
Ah, it's a terrible thing, age, isn't it? I can't go on the waltzers with my kids anymore either. Or I'm kind of dry retching on the drive home.
It might just be age. It might not be as even putting away the amount of sweets they put away at the fair, I'd struggle. I would struggle to cope with that, quite frankly.
So has it? I mean, it certainly sounds like it's changed. Like, do you feel? We often don't feel different. It's often a better question to ask of the people around us than to be asked it ourselves. But do you feel a different person?
I feel a different person when I kind of stop and remember. I suppose I do. I mean, I've always been reasonably cautious. Person, you know, a certain amount of nervousness and anxiousness, I suppose, but it's, you know, and so that's a reason to, you know, take care of yourself, of course, because when you have something like this, you think about the impact on something happens to you, the impact that then has on the people around you. But it also gives you this kind of slightly amazing perspective, really, when anything you can stop and think, oh, that's not that important. If I'm standing in the wings waiting to go on at a theatre and I still feel nervous or whatever, then I can stop and think, no, hang on, this is great that I get from, you know, being held in the recovery position by four strangers, you know, 2.5 years ago. And you think, now, now I get to experience being nervous. That's, you know, that's actually, you know, this is a good thing. So it, it does give you that kind of perspective on it. I mean, my friends, I was talking to a friend recently, he said, you know, yeah, you are no different. And I know that you were worried about being different. And I couldn't remember being worried about being different, but he said, oh no, we've talked about it for ages, but presumably the drugs or whatever meant I was gabbling. But I don't feel different in a way, but sometimes I kind of need to see people face to face to reassure them that that is the case.
How do you mine an experience like that for a show?
Well, I guess the thing is, one, you've got a proper story to hang the jokes on, and part of it is just the actual narrative truth, the actuality of the experience. But of course, there is the kind of vulnerability there. There's a lot of, you know, someone like me is a lot of sort of self-effacing, deprecating stuff, you know, sort of fish out of, you know, always being the outsider and what have you. But that, and the kind of indignity sometimes that you have to endure when going through a, you know, this is in the middle of the pandemic, you're going through a chaotic environment. I don't mean chaotic negatively. I mean, you know, just busy place to be seriously ill in. And of course, you know, you have if you're in a room and you're, if everyone else in the room is a brain surgeon and you're not, you suddenly think, oh, I'm the idiot in this conversation. And there's a lot of that sort of stuff, I suppose, that you're exposed to. And I guess it's how, how one responds to things, and the ridiculousness of things, when you have this kind of long contemplative phase, really. But I, writing it, I started writing it because I wanted to get the sort of facts clear in my head. It was a bit of a blur, some of it, and I'd go back and look at what messages did I send to people when, or that sort of thing. And then, of course, my way of telling a story is to tell it with the jokes in, I guess. But with this, I think it's important to keep all the truth in as well. And then you can hang all the jokes on that. Your story is the Christmas tree, and the jokes are the baubles, and maybe the fairy lights, perhaps something on the top. And that's kind of, yeah, structurally how it is. But I really enjoy having a story to tell. Mm. A nice year's gone past, you know, you're wondering how to do stand-up, and, you know, you realise, well, I've, you know, that sort of went quite well, but it's really me sort of moaning about croissants or trains or whatever. Here you're thinking, no, you're telling like this, you know, this interesting sort of intense story, and it's a really satisfying thing to do. And that's sort of why I've ended up sort of adding more dates to the tour, just because of the enjoyment of it. It's nice, you know, I'm really lucky to be able to go out and talk about an experience like this, but I also, you know, just enjoy the show. I love going to venues I've never been to before and places I've never been to before, and there being some sort of connection with an audience that you didn't, you know, that it didn't exist before. You know, this is why I get romantic when they talk about performing and stuff, but it can be, you know, really sort of uplifting and overwhelming to go to a place where you think I'm basically a stranger here.
I was going to ask, I mean, people would have seen you in stuff like, you know, Rev or the Full Monty, the TV iteration, and well, Ridley Scott's Napoleon as Emperor Francis, of course, as well, in the last couple of years. But it certainly sounds, the way you describe it, like this is still kind of the first love and the primary love, kind of live audience.
Yeah, it's the kind of intensity of it is sort of unmatched in a way. And when you're filming something, there's a very exciting moment between action and cut, and then in which you're like thinking, I just need to be the one that doesn't mess this up. I don't want anyone else to mess it up either, but you think I've got to do my job, and that could be 40 seconds, could be 2 minutes, whatever it is. And then, of course, you don't see the thing for a year and a half or whatever it is, so by then you're kind of disembodied. I really do like doing that, but the sort of just the walking out onto a bare stage and there being an audience to the thing just happening, that's an itch that you need to scratch, and I need to scratch. And I think it sort of makes you sharper. I remember doing a tour about 10 years ago, so I was in a phase and I was sort of doing loads of panel shows and stuff, and I looked at one evening and thought, everyone else is gigging all the time and I'm not, I'm just turning up and doing these, and that's really lazy. It's just like I'm getting the lollipop, but I haven't been good during my haircuts. You know, I need to do the proper work, and it's fun, but it is, you know, it is proper work, and you focus and you're working hard up there, even if all the work is going into trying to look calm and in control.
Well, you mentioned the scratch needing to be itched. We hope it will be itched in the Sugar Club the 25th of June, and tickets are on sale on iBang with Miles Jupp, ticketmaster.ie, if you want to get your hands on the last few that are available. Miles, it's been a real pleasure. Thanks a million for joining us.
Listen, thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4. on News Talk.